Kelly, you're first in line.
All right. My question is, can you explain a little more, perhaps, about that sign, how superficial the investigations are? Bush and Cheney have asked Tom Daschle to not get too involved, which I think is a big red flag and smoking gun and a big cover-up, and how superficial do we expect Congress to be?
The congressional investigation of September 11th will be a total whitewash. It's been placed under the control of Britt Snyder, the former CIA Inspector General. Britt Snyder is a former CIA Inspector General who covered up Volume 2 of all of the CIA's drug dealing in Iran-Contra after the Gary Webb stories came out. He is a class operative. He's very familiar with me because I was a part of that investigation. I was not allowed to testify. Gary wasn't allowed to testify. And Volume 2 of the CIA's Inspector General report, I publish excerpts from that. And if you read the excerpts, which I have for sale, these are edited by me, you read this, and it says clearly that the CIA dealt with 56 known traffickers, kept 8 out of jail, briefed Vice President Bush on how they were lying to Congress. There's telling CIA documents showing that one guy with his weekly shipment of 220 kilos of cocaine, a telegram came from CIA headquarters, do not debrief the man, let him go. CIA's own records. That's what Britt Snyder overlooked as Inspector General of the CIA. He will do the same thing in the congressional hearings on September the 11th. Hold no faith in those hearings. Yes, sir. You have a question.
Yeah, Mike. Basically, I want to know what do you think would be the most effective thing we could do politically or possibly even legally to protect whistleblowers, because I know there are a lot of people there. Nothing.
Look, I've been a whistleblower. I've been shot at twice. I've been homeless for 3 years, forced into bankruptcy. When I couldn't find a job anywhere, thanks to LAPD and CIA, I took a job at a 7-Eleven store and they arrested me for selling liquor to a minor until I couldn't work. That was 20-some years ago. Whistleblowers all over are hopeless and helpless. There is nothing legally or politically that can be done to expect government to take care of whistleblowers. The only people who can take care of whistleblowers are people like you. I get 10 to 20 requests a month from whistleblowers or people who have been victimized saying, Mike, write about my case, and I can't. I can't, because they're naive, number one, they don't know what they're facing, and number two, there's just too many of them. The only way to protect whistleblowers is to have a society form around them that will protect them, feed them, nurture them, give them sustenance, and take care of them. That's it. Don't look for government to do it. Hi.
Hi. Mike, do you see a collapse of the global financial structure?
Yeah.
After all, Enron went bankrupt.
We've been teetering on a collapse. That's why the drug money is so precious. Before these guys can implement whatever grander strategy they're implementing vis-a-vis oil and the conversion from the end of the age of oil and controlling the last oil reserves, they have to prevent the world economy from crashing, which would make it impossible for them to control the outcome. There's a huge, and I didn't have time, the lecture was too long, but the price of gold has been artificially manipulated by a conspiracy and a cabal for years involving the Federal Reserve, Goldman Sachs, the Bank of International Settlements, and J.P. Morgan alone has $20 trillion in derivatives tied up behind gold that could pop at any time. So these are very uncertain times, and the world economy could definitely implode. They will, of course, use the drug money to try to sustain it. Just very briefly, let me say Catherine Austin Fitz, my mentor, who has been a great friend, lectured in Pennsylvania to very wealthy people, you know, who take a spiritual retreat once a year to figure out how they can improve the world while they count their money. And she presented this lecture, and I have a great videotape called Wall Street's War for Drug Money, which was a lecture I gave at USC a year ago, School of International Relations. And she laid out the fact that drug money is sustaining Wall Street, and she asked these wealthy people, okay, here's a red button. You could push this button right now and stop all the drug trafficking in the world. Would you do it? Only one person would push the button. The rest of them said, it'll hurt my stocks. Okay, so yes, the world economy is very precarious right now. Yes, sir.
Mike, I have a question about American troops on the border with Canada. I read recently that there'll be many, many troops deployed on our northern border.
Mm-hmm.
And are they trying to seal the border, keep people from leaving the country, or keep others from coming in? They're talking about terrorism, but what is the real purpose?
Canada is being subjugated very quickly. Canada is being rendered almost a non-existent sovereign state. Basically, the U.S. control the borders. The borders now are really the North Pole and the Isthmus of Panama. That's, in effect, the way it works. But Canada has virtually been rendered a vassal state of the United States. The purpose of the troops, I don't know. Canada's not going to fight. They're too economically dependent upon us. So the troops will have some other purpose, and I don't know what. I can't speculate yet. But they'll be there.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
I have a couple of questions. The first one's probably naive. But isn't there enough evidence yet to have some kind of legal action? And is anyone preparing any kind of lawsuit against the government? And would that do any good?
The way the current legal system works is we do not live under the rule of law. Daryl, attorney, God bless him, is using perhaps the last remaining vehicle in the legal system which has any teeth in it, and that's a civil suit against the government using the power of subpoena and the power of discovery. Vis-a-vis September the 11th, the only real suit or legal action that could be taken would be a civil suit by the victims' families. And I have spoken to several. They're all scared to death. And they're all having money thrown at them, and they're signing away any ability to sue the government. Okay, but through the standard means, like a grand jury. Now, grand juries are very powerful, and I think there's a ballot initiative coming up in California for a state grand jury that citizens can impanel. That would have great, it's constitutional and very powerful. But the legal system per se, as you know it, is useless in this situation.
And then I was wondering, has anyone talked with any of the fighter pilots who would normally be on duty for these attacks?
No. Well, they haven't surfaced.
That's the part that seems most confounding to me. I mean, just know I was raised in a military family, and people, there are always people that break rank. There are people that, you know, that...
Not in these circumstances. If you are in the military and you divulge national security information, you can be jailed immediately without a trial. Your family can lose their medical benefits. They lose their pension. They have an ironclad hold on these guys. Some FBI agents supposedly have come forward. David Shippers supposedly has a list of them, but he's doing the McCarthy thing. He's not reading the list. And I say, BS. I came forward over CIA dealing drugs, and I risked my life. So did Celerino Castillo, my good friend at DEA. A lot of people have come forward, and we haven't seen them. But who knows what happened with these fighter pilots around September the 11th. It's a big mystery.
There are two emails.
But nobody's come forth like I have to stand in front of you and tell you X, Y, and Z. I don't know why.
Hello, Mike.
Hi.
My name is Frank Running Horse. I've also been investigating this. I'd like to give you a first chapter of our findings in our investigation. I have a couple factual questions, and I also a strategic question I'd like to ask you.
Okay.
First of all, on the factual questions, on the flight, 93 or that crashed in Pennsylvania?
Right.
There's been a lot of... murky information about that debris from the crash were found 8 miles away from the crash site where the rest of it was all very compact and it's gone straight down, leading some people to speculate that possibly that flight was shot down, that there was sightings of military aircraft in the area and other things that would indicate that possible flight was shot down, with a possible reason being for that the ticket holders, the flyers, the passengers may have regained control of the aircraft, and if that was the case, and it was a CIA operation, then it had to be shot down to cover it up.
That's possible. The reason why I won't write about it, the reason why I won't investigate it, is because it's one of those tactical cul-de-sacs that goes nowhere. I could publish that, and unlike what you saw tonight, which is hard evidence of proof that the government is lying, that needs no other proof, that is an inconclusive pursuit, as is look at what happened after the Murrah building in Oklahoma City when it was proved that that truck bomb did not blow up that building. And here we are 5-6 years later, and nothing has happened with the government. So I have made a choice that I will not waste a minute of my time pursuing questions like that when there's so much evidence of proof that the government is lying that I can take and wave in somebody's face and it makes an immediate impression. That they can either accept or reject. So I don't go there.
My second factual question is about the case of the alleged 20th hijacker, Zacharias Moussaoui.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was arrested prior to 911, pretty much over the objections, it looks like, of the national FBI.
Right.
The local FBI were apparently not in the loop and arrested him on the information by his flight instructor.
Yes.
And apparently the national FBI, all the way up to Robert Mueller, who seemed to went out of his way to try to cover up for Zacharias Moussaoui, even to the point lying, saying, oh, the press had it all wrong. It wasn't that he wanted to learn how to fly the airplane and not land. It was the other way around.
I'm with you. What's the question?
Well, can't we nail him on this? Can't we? I mean, this guy Moussaoui was...
We've nailed him on 100 pieces of evidence here tonight. I'm not looking for what will apply in a court of law. That presumes that we're going to get to a court of law, that the system works. The system doesn't work. My only strategic goal is to find the information which converts the brain dead into the brain awake.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Well, this would seem to be one of those pieces of information, though, when you catch the head of the FBI lying and covering up for a terrorist.
It is. And when I'm not working 120 hours a week and on the verge of going to the hospital, I may write about it.
My final question is on strategy. Now, you said that it's up to us to do something. Now, we know that this investigation that's coming up here in April is basically going to be a Warren Commission.
Yes.
It's going to be a cover-up.
Yes.
But the only thing that can make positive come out of it is if the people rise up between now and then. There's demonstrations. We should be calling for massive demonstrations to ask the hard questions. The flag is not a blindfold. We should be having a counter or a people's investigation with people like you on it that can be broadcast over KPFA and Democracy Now! Going on simultaneously to force the politicians to deal with this.
Let me jump in there, and then I'm going to have to move on because you've had three questions and there's a whole lot of people. But look, 4 days ago, 20,000 Orthodox Jews in New York City picketed the Israeli consulate. They said that Israel does not represent world Jewry. Did you hear anything about it on the news? In 1995, 450,000 Vietnam veterans on motorcycles rode around the Pentagon about POWs. Did you hear anything about it on the news? Insanity is repeating the same actions over and over again, expecting different results. Period. Yes, we need to start to go to the streets now, but not until we get to a point where it's the 1967, 68, 69 streets with 500,000 people marching on Washington can we expect it to make one iota of difference. And as far as the citizens' commissions goes, I've been around this for a long time, and I've participated in some. These are masturbatory exercises. And I don't mean to be offensive, but what I'm saying is that when you get a bunch of people holding a citizens' commission and the audience is already the choir, and it has no effect on the world out there, what's accomplished? I attended one at USC in 1999 on the drug issue, and it was just all the people who we all know and love talking to all the people who we all know and love. We have to get outside of that box. I don't know how yet. I mean, yes, we have to do something. Yes, we got to start some marches now, but we've got to find more creative ways to do things. We can't fall back in the mold that we've been living in for 20 years. It won't work. It won't work. That's my opinion anyway. But we start somewhere.